be with David and Bethany and Linda and guide them through the problems that they're having right now, and keep Bethany safe, Lord, where there will not be any lasting problems that she has or injuries and this sort of thing. And take care of David and Linda and guide them through so that they too can get through what is coming up for them. And Lord, we ask the people who fell and broke their hips, Lord, that you take care of them, you heal them as quickly as possible, and you take away their pain so that they will not be very uncomfortable for any length of time. And Lord, just take care of all of us. Heal our bodies and heal our minds so that we can better be able to do your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Going to do things a little different today. There's nobody here to sing. And I know you ain't going to hear me, don't want to hear me sing. I saw a couple of you had some cans you could throw, so I ain't going to bother with it. So we'll get into the lesson. And tonight we're talking about grief recovery, living at peace with loss, part two. And it's dated April the 12th, so just pretend that today's April the 12th or whatever. I got advance notice that I was going to be up here tonight. He called me about 4:30. I was at Crab House, which is 40 minutes away. Oh, you didn't get one. Yeah, you did. We're getting... Well, you bring something? All right, well, we'll take up an offering then. Regardless. Well, that's one way to do it. You just thought you was going to make me sing. But after a request for everybody, I decided it would be better not to. You'll get over. Okay, anything else I forgot? Yeah, that's what Eddie told me. He got a cheat sheet for me, and we can't find it. So. I'll be right back. Okay, anybody got anything else? Nobody got anything else? Yeah, you're supposed to grieve. And when we get down to the bottom of it, I'm going to give you an example of grief and everything that I experienced in the past. Grief recovery, living at peace with loss, part two. Who has not questioned the reason for pain or suffering in the world, or especially in your personal life? Some people have become hardened by the losses. Others have become softened. God used their grief, to cultivate them in them tender, understanding hearts. Jesus understands, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. So everybody's going to have grief in their life. And it's going to be a loss of something. It's usually a loss of a loved one that you're going to grieve for. And most of the time when we're grieving for the loss of a loved one, we're not grieving for the person that passed on. We're grieving for ourselves. Because now we got to live without them in it. And depending on who it is as to how much loss you actually have. Now, what is chronic grief? While we are grieving, a problem can be that we don't want to talk about our grief or let others see our sadness. We don't want to appear weak, so we mask our emotions. Now, this is pretty common with most of us. We want everybody to think, well, I'm tougher than that. I don't need to grieve. Wrong. Every one of us needs to grieve. It's a process we need to go through. If we delay in sharing our sorrow, our healing will be delayed. If we're going to be authentically human, we need to be able to share the truth about the heaviness in our hearts. If we have chronic grief, we are emotionally struck and need to be set free. There's a lot in there. When you experience a loss, you've got to get through that loss. And the grieving process is what we use to do that. You need to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8:32. Chronic grief is an unresolved emotional sorrow experienced over a long period of time as a result of not accepting a significant loss or experiencing closure of that loss. The troubles of my heart have multiplied. Free me from my anguish. Psalm 25:17. That sounded like something David would have written. Read Psalms sometime. And remember, David wrote them, God, man after God's own heart. And every psalm he wrote, he was having some kind of problem where he had screwed up again. That's why he was a man after God's own heart, because every time he screwed up, he got down on his knees and said, Lord, forgive me. Yeah, if you don't put a closure to it, it's like an open sword, it won't heal. And the more you scratch it, the longer it's going to take for it to heal. It is, unless you're in it, and then it's hard to envision anything else. But a lot of times the reason that we don't are not able to heal is because we don't take it to God. Yeah, I mean, He is the healer. I mean, Jesus can heal anything, no matter what it is, especially grief. And we ask one question, why? Why, God, did you allow this to happen? Why? Well, it's an imperfect world, but that ain't the reason it happened. I mean, things happen in life. But usually when something happens in life, God is preparing you for something else that's coming. And you don't want to see it. Y'all didn't know Stanley. But Stanley was, he prophesied. And most of the time when he prophesied, somebody died. You really didn't want to hear him prophesy to you. Because was it your sister that he prophesied about? And 30 days later she died, somewhere in that category? Well, he didn't say who. He just said somebody, but he didn't know who. But he did prophesy. Yeah. No, you really don't. Well, it was an automobile accident. She was killed in there. What I was thinking. So that's something you never know. So not only are you not promised tomorrow, you ain't promised the rest of the day. I mean, it can happen to any of us at any time. You might not see him again on this side. Friendly word or a friendly departure. Yeah. Once you go through the grief of losing someone, you understand the grief somebody else is going through. And it's never fun to go through it. You can help them go. And a lot of times, the best thing you can say is nothing. Just be there and you don't say nothing. And they'll be so glad of everything you see. No. But there is a place you can go. And I'm going to get into that at the closing, I mean. Yeah, a lot of people tell you that. And that's wrong. No, you just don't get over it. And that's probably why he had to go through that, so that he would be in a better position to help others when they were going through it. Because if you ain't been there, you don't know what's going on. No, you got to walk in those moccasins before you know what that Indian had to go through. Let's see. I forgot where we were, so we'll go back to here. Chronic grief is an unresolved emotional sorrow experienced over a long period of time as a result of not accepting a significant loss nor experiencing closure of that loss. The troubles of my heart have been multiplied. Free me from my anger. Psalm 25:17. Yeah, we did that one. But a lot of times, a lot of people will not allow themselves to grieve because for whatever reason they have, they just don't allow themselves to grieve. Chronic grief or incomplete grief can also be unresolved, deep sorrow experienced over a long period of time, producing misconceptions that result in a failure to move through the grief process. If you're going to be in that grief process somewhere, and you can either move through it or you can get stuck in it. And there ain't a lot of fun getting stuck in it. Like the misconception, my grief will never end. And the correction for that, you will mourn for a season, then your grief will end. There is a time to mourn and a time to dance, Ecclesiastes 3:4. If I cry, I am not strong. But Jesus was strong, yet he wept after Lazarus died. Jesus wept, John 11:35. King David was strong, yet he and his men wept when Saul and Jonathan died. They mourned, wept, and fasted till evening for Saul and Jonathan, 2 Samuel 1:12. So, yeah. Yeah, I think half of the crowd here is going to mass walk. I don't care how strong you think you are. Your head going to leak that weekend. I promise you that. And David says, if your head leaks, it won't swell. And he told me and Stephen we were set for the rest of our life. If you don't get emotional and cry on the mass walk, we'll call Paul Funeral Home and get them to come measure you because you're dead on the inside just waiting to die on the outside so they can bury both sides together. Yeah, it was very, very emotional for that. Misconception. If I feel deep sorrow, I must not be trusting God. Correction. Christ never failed to trust God the Father, yet called a man of sorrows. He was despised, rejected, a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. Isaiah 53:3. When you're in a grieving process and you feel the real deep sorrow, that's when you need to trust God the most. That's when you need to reach out to Him, because He will come back and He will bring you what you need to get you through it. I'll get to that in just a minute. What is repressed grief? Have you seen someone smiling yet within the smile you recognize sadness? Have you heard someone laughing though you knew the heart was not healed? This is a picture of repressed grief. I dare to say almost all of us have been in that position at one time or another. That we have repressed our grief for various reasons. And we'll get into some of that when I go into the process. But we haven't allowed ourselves to go through the grief process. So we were the ones that actually hindered it. Repressed grief occurs when a person has reason to grieve and needs to grieve, but does not grieve. The person with repressed grief exhibits negative lifestyle patterns but does not know why. Example, distance yourself from others, playing the clown, using mood-altering substances, behaviors, this sort of thing. You'll see a lot of people will turn to alcohol, they'll turn to drugs, they'll turn to prescription drugs as well as illegal something, and it dulls their senses. That's their mechanism for getting through it. Only by facing truth of painful loss, going through grief, will we have emotional healing. Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide you. Psalms 43:3. Repressed grief can overcome. Grieving can begin when a person begins grief work. Now, I came up with four different stages of grief that I went through. And the first is shock, disbelief. It didn't happen. Wait a minute. Now, I was with them yet this afternoon, and this can't be true. Yeah. Is this a nightmare or what? I don't believe it. My biggest grief, we've all lost parents and this sort of thing, and some of us have lost spouses. My grief came when I lost my oldest son. If there's any pain worse than losing one of your children, I don't want to go through it. I don't think I'd make it through it. But he did. He committed suicide. It's a long story. I'm not going to get into that and so forth. But he committed suicide. And I had talked with him that afternoon. And gave him a short answer on something he had asked me about. He said, do you ever feel like you're at the end of your road? I told him, so that's just the devil working on you. Don't pay any attention to that. You know, trust the Lord, he'll get you through it. And it was more than he could put up with. He had an accident years before. Literally blew his face off. And they had put it back together. And he was in more pain than any of us in here could imagine. And because he wrote a note, but thanks to the police department, we didn't get a note 2 months later. But in the note, he said that no more pain. There was more pain than he could really put up with. But I was into the disbelief, the shock, to start with, when I went to the hospital and everything, and there he was laying on the table. And the shock lasted for a while. Sister Annie, came stayed with me that night. Barbara was up with her daughter. I called her and they came down, but it was a 3.5 hour drive. Annie stayed with me that night. And the second stage is anger. My anger was very short lived. I mean, these stages vary. They vary in the intensity. They vary in the length of the time it takes you to get through them. And they vary in the order that they'll come in. Sometimes the anger will be toward the latter part of the grief process. My anger was very short-lived. Then you get into the grieving process, and finally into the healing. Because my anger, Annie told me someone else that had been through something similar. Prayed to God for an answer and for healing. And it finally came. So I started by 8 o'clock that next morning in the constant prayer mode. Everywhere I went, I was talking to the Lord. And the first question I asked him was, why? Why, Lord? Why did this have to happen? Why have we got to suffer through this? Why, Lord, did you let this happen? And that went on for a couple of hours, and that was the extent of basically my anger period. And then I kept on praying all that day for his peace. And about 8 o'clock that night, the answer came. First thing I heard was Jesus that asked not about your son, but he is with me. wait a minute, man. The Bible says if you commit suicide, you go to hell, don't you? No, it don't. I've looked for it, and I can't find it in there. The reason I can't find it, it ain't there. So, that's what Jesus himself told me. And then he said, ask not why, for it is beyond your ability to understand. Then the Holy Ghost came in and he said, people will come to you over the next period of time to tell you the effect that your son had on their life. And before a son was not a Christian, didn't know Jesus, and when the first time he was in the hospital, 10 years before he died, 18 years before he died, something like that, he didn't know the Lord. And his life, we were looking at stuff that he had with him and so forth. He was in the hospital there, and I questioned, well, what has he done in his life? Did he do anything with it, or is his life a waste? But he went through that process, and he stayed in the psychiatric ward for a couple months, and that's when he got to know Jesus. He started reading the Bible and so forth, and was able to turn things around. And then, 6 years later, or something, when he finally died, the Holy Ghost told me people will come over the next period of time to tell you the effect that he had on their life. And they did for almost 2 years. Various times people would come to me and tell me that they knew my son, they were sorry about his passing, and something he had done that made a difference in their life. Which told me that no, his life was not a waste. That there was good that came out of it. Because the Holy Ghost told me, he said, they will come to you and tell you things that he has done. He said, but also, because of your son, you now have a daughter-in-law and four grandchildren. So, I had a big loss here, but I had a gain. And now I have several great-grandchildren based on that. But God brought his peace to me. And although that night and the next day, the world was like a hurricane, a category 4 or 5 hurricane that it hit. Then when God's peace came that night, the sea was just as calm on the tabletop. His peace came over me and consumed me to the point that I was able to grieve without the anger. And based on that, the grieving process was relatively short. And then I was able to go into the healing stage, which is the final stage. And during the healing stage, you go from seeing the pictures that really tear your heart out to seeing pictures, the same picture brings you a smile. Because you now have memories. Good memories. And that takes a little time in there. And it varies with people. Someone we were talking to said that their mother had died. You'll remember the time I get married. But their mother had died. I think it was their mother had died and so forth. And one of them didn't want any pictures. Period. Now I don't want none picture, nothing. A year or two later, she came back and said, still got any pictures of them? I'd like to have some. So her grieving process then had gone through the anger portion. That's basically where she was in the anger stage. And she had gone through that to the point that now she was into the grieving and you'd been starting to the healing. And she was able to get the pictures and look at them. because the pitchers no longer brought the hurt, but they brought some joy back into your life when you start remembering the good parts in that person. And my son and I did a lot of hunting together, a lot of fishing. Yes, ma'am. Okay. We did a lot of hunting and fishing together and so forth, and built up a pretty good rapport. He was had got involved in search with me, that sort of thing. Same time she did. That's another story. We got married in October. It was written in the fine print of the wedding contract. She had to be involved in search and rescue for 1 year. And the preacher backed me up on it. He said, yeah, it's in there. Of course, he was the assistant team leader. I was the team leader. He was the assistant team leader. A grunt, ground pounder. So she went through the training. She took the first class I ever taught in it, because I tried for 3 years to get a class taught, couldn't get it taught. So I went and got my credentials to teach it. And a guy could come back and have a class, and we finally did that. Because I had to drive to Morganton, which was 5.5 hour drive, to get my training so that I could teach it. And I complained one time to Steve Foster about having to drive so far to get training. He says, yeah, I know what you mean. I had to go to Texas to get mine. I didn't say nothing else. But she got involved. She went through the program. She got out there in the rain, did the navigation with the compass and everything in the rainstorm that we had. She went out on the mile hike, and she stayed in under a piece of plastic that night. And she went out on the search, mock search that we had to find wherever it was we had lost. I forgot the name. My subject, lost subject's name, each one of us have a pet name for our lost subject. My lost subject's first name was Ima, last name was Lost. So you go out there and you look at somebody, you shout their name. And you shout, Ima Lost, Ima Lost. I mean, some people that they think that's weird and they don't like to do it because it embarrasses them to shout something like Ima Lost. We did a search one time for a fella, and he fell out of his boat in Chewan River. So we were searching, quote, the river bank, which was waist deep, and we had to shout his name. And answer the name he answered to was his nickname, and that was Rectum. So we're out there in waist deep swamp hollering Rectum. I mean, you know, now he does. No, not near as bad. No, they find him the next day in the river. He had drowned. If he made it to shore with his help, it had to sit there 4 or 5 hours. That's why they had us walk the bank just to make sure he never made it back. And he did. So. But getting back to first Saturday of May, they're going to be in Beaufort County hollering, I'm a lost, because I'm going to be the lost subject that they're going to look for. When they get there, I'm not going to be there. And I'm going to leave the information and everything, and they're going to have to organize a search and go look for me. Because 200 acres, they ain't never been in. I could be in any one of part of it. So they're going to have to figure out how they're going to look for me, and then go out and do the look. Well, I'm going to put mosquito repellent on it, so that should not be a problem. Well, we got a couple of them that are a little on a bear's side. One of the girls is usually carrying something to explain her side of the situation to the bear. I told her not to let me see it because I'm going to laugh. But anyway, getting back to the grieving portion. Because God gave me his peace, I was able to grieve, and the grief did period was relatively short. And then it went to the healing process. And the healing process is when you can think about the person and talk about the person and feel good about it. When you're smiling, but you're not hurting inside. You don't get over the loss per se, but you get over the pain of the loss. And if I could bring my son back right now, I would not do it. No. Because, no. I couldn't live myself if I did, because he's not in pain. And he's with Jesus, so I see him when I get up there. I don't know about y'all, but when the rapture comes, if I'm still around, I won't be in the first busload up. I won't have to wait for that second bus. Well, I heard that second bus is going to be a long time coming, and it's going to be painful. Yep, that's right. But getting back to Barbara, for 1 year, she participated. She did the training. She went on everything, because we train once a month, too. She would go on the training and so forth and do whatever was at. You know, I had her a pack and combat boots, the whole bit. And on day 366, she handed me the pack and said, "My year is up." That's it. No more swamps. Of course, not that I would have put my people in Swamp Rat, but my nickname is in Swamp, but my nickname is Swamp Rat. So that's because I spent a lot of time waist deep slimy green swamps. But that's another story. We'll get into that later. But thanks to God's peace, I was able to go through that process. And the grieving part didn't last very long at all. And the healing went pretty darn quick, because I had those words. And it sounded just as clear when he said them, from Jesus and the Holy Ghost, as it did somebody's talking to me. It was very, very clear. But it was also very soothing, because it did. It calmed everything down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, even if you have a close relationship, you have to go to him and ask him for his peace. I mean, he's right ready to give it to you, but you've got to be willing to accept it. And you're not willing to accept it until you ask him for it. Mm-hmm. Oh, you play that game. Oh, big time you play that. If I'd have done this and if I'd have done that, oh. Mm-hmm. Well, that's when you finally get in a relationship. That's when you look in the mirror and you say, "Fool, if you'd have done this 6 months ago, you'd look how much better you'd have felt, how much better along you'd have been." And it's true. I mean, yeah, if you would, but eventually you got it. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you got hung up into the disbelief, shock disbelief, and I got to be strong for everybody else. And so forth. You added another stage in there, which meant it delayed your grieving process to the point that it also delayed the healing process. Yeah. Yeah, you were grieving the disease and not the result. It takes, and each one of us, it takes a different amount of time. There ain't no set rule that you got to go spend 6 months in this stage and 2 months in that. Yeah. In the grieving process, if someone else is there, they don't have to say a word. Make some coffee. Pour some milk. Or get some bowl of cereal. You ain't got to say a word. Just be there. And your presence will add strength to the person who's in the grieving process. And if you can think of something to say, good luck. Yes, ma'am. With his help. Yeah. One thing. In a way we can understand. And it's going to be different for each one of them. Yep. Well, I had a sister-in-law that her husband died, and she got around talking to us sometime later and so forth about how she was angry with him. She was mad with him for leaving her. Said, oh man, she was real upset because he had left her, and she was mad at him for doing that. And that's a normal reaction. Most people, I mean, it can be just for a thought, or it can be for 6 months. But most people will go through that period of time being mad at the individual for dying because they left you. And now you've got to carry on without them. And she was able to grieve through that. And once she got through that, she went through all the grieving process. She later married a neighbor who had been very supportive to her. Wow, all this has been going on. Her grieving process lasted about 8 to 10 months. It varies individual what you go through and how long each stage of it goes through. But basically, and you can add things to the stage and so forth, but basically those are the stages that you go through. You believe in good Lord, He'll carry you through them stages. If not, you got to drag yourself through them. That's when they last a long time. And you get into the chronic grief stages and the repressed grief where basically you don't accept the fact they died. Yeah. But during those processes, those are the processes you're going to go through. And if you can get through them without the good Lord, you've done better than I could. I've never made without it. I don't think I would have lived through the loss of my son without God there to do what He did to carry me through it. And He literally carried me through it. Otherwise, I would never have made it. Big time. Trying to bring Him down. And the more you get into God, the more He's going to try to bring you down. Because if He can bring you down, that's a big feather in His hat. All He got to do is say, look, see what I did there? That was one of your men of God, but you saw him fall. He got you then. He got you. Well, that family structure is... And right now, this government is doing its best to tear that structure down and tear it apart. And that's the devil himself working in it, to me. It's my opinion. Y'all get for me on. But it's the devil himself working in this country because he knows this country was founded on the principles of Jesus. The good Lord had his hand in the founding of this country. The boys that wrote our Constitution and so forth, they were pretty smart boys, but they weren't smart enough to write what they did. They were smart enough to ask for help. And when they asked for it, they got it. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Bethany and David and Linda, all of them.
Yes, ma'am.
Praise the Lord. Car didn't fare so well. Praise the Lord. You can get another car. You can get another vehicle. I promise you that from personal experience. Well, I mean, every once in a while, they tell you, look, I told you not to do that. But you did it anyway, so this is the result from it. Now, if you want to try it again, you're going to get more the same. Oh, you got that right. Well, if it was dented, my mama didn't do it, but if the paint was scraped off, even for that long and that wide, without a dent, mama did that. She got through some tight places. She'd get through without a dent, but she tore the paint up. That's how close it was. Anybody got anything else they would like to add? Okay, Frankie. And there it is. Right eye. Okay. Heavenly Father, be with me, Lord, and take care of that right eye, the problem she has had, the trash that got in and messed it up, Lord. Take it away and heal that eye. And we know you are the great physician, and you can do the healing, for nothing is beyond your ability to do. And she is one of your children, Lord, and be with her. And heal her body. Heal that eye so there's no damage and everything will be back to normal as soon as possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Anybody else? All right. We'll have the closing prayer. All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to share this word tonight. And Lord, as we go forth, whether it's our grieving process or someone else's grieving process, give us the knowledge we need to say what needs to be said that will aid everyone to the proper healing, to bring them closer to you so they can get the healing they need to get them through the process. So they can come out on the other side, your servant, and a lot happier than they would have been otherwise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.